Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Evening with our discussion on what is expected to be a turbocharge to infrastructure investment in South Africa, also says Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, Dean McPherson. He made an announcement today that he expects his intervention at the moment to add as much as 1.5 percentage points to GDP growth. He joins me now. Minister McPherson, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
Absolutely. Won't you please take us through a little bit about the high-level reasons that you feel that this plan was required at this particular time?
What we decided, and from also discussions with a number of players, is that a lot of projects don't get to financial close because of the way that they are prepared, designed, and packaged, and that they don't have the necessary skills and funding to do so. So what we have done is we've made 179 million rand available through Infrastructure South Africa for people who have infrastructure projects that are a billion rand or more, from whether it be national government departments, provincial governments, or local municipalities, to submit those plans and proposals to Infrastructure South Africa, where they will be assessed on the viability and bankability of them. And then if they are awarded through this bid window, we will then work with that arm of state or entity to prepare those projects for investment funding in the private sector. We think that this will have a really outsized effect on infrastructure spending, particularly through the 950 billion rand that is made available through the three-year government budget cycle. Now, if we can get this right, and this is maybe a bit of a test case for the moment, we will then be able to ensure that we can guarantee value for money for that 950 billion rand and to ensure that we leverage private sector funding against the state's contribution.
Right. And so what this basically does is alleviate the burden on the fiscus and, I guess, crowds in private investment in such a way that, which actually private investors kind of prefer. We'd rather be where government is. It has a greater probability of outcome if the right environmental and feasibility tests are undertaken.
What it does also on top of that is it provides credibility to those infrastructure projects, because Infrastructure South Africa and the Infrastructure Fund have really good name recognition and association in private capital market. So where their name is involved and where they are working, you are able to increase the chances of financial viability. So it really is about taking the very best within our department and with Infrastructure South Africa, combining that with the state's focus on projects and then leveraging the state's contribution with private sector capital so that we can get more value for our rand and we're able to get more infrastructure projects for less funding out of the national fiscus.
You've highlighted a number of areas that will be prioritized in terms of project financing: energy, water and sanitation, transport, human settlements, social infrastructure, IDZs or industrial development zones, and of course municipal infrastructure, all of which have presented themselves as in dire need of attention at this particular time. I imagine that there's no shortage of projects within any of these sectors. How does one then prioritize within each? In other words, with 179 million rand as your gunpowder, do you rank them according to potential return on investment or return for municipality or for people impact? How is that measured in terms of being able to prioritize which project gets partnered with?
First of all, you have to meet the criteria of your project being in value of a billion rand or more. Then what we will look at is those projects that have the greatest economic impact and social impact. So we look at those things collectively to then determine where we really want to focus and also where we can work with tariff-focused infrastructure projects like water, transmission, roads, because those projects make it a lot easier to crowd in private sector investment. So it's a whole basket of things that we look at, but our primary objective is to be able to drive economic growth through infrastructure. So those that are going to really move the needle towards our growth targets, and those that are going to have high employment opportunities, are going to be the real projects that we're focused on.
And do you have any limits in terms of the proportion of investment that you can be? So in other words, you know, 179 billion is not a huge amount in infrastructure, but if it's R1 billion per project, is each going to get 1% at maximum, or is there any limit on your portfolio?
Well, remember, the 179 million rand is for project preparation. It's not for project funding.
Gotcha.
Project funding is completely different. So This is just the preparatory work and putting together engineering reports, financial models, all those sorts of things like that, EIAs, whatever they may be. So that's where the 179 million goes. Once we then have exhausted that in those projects, you'll then have a cumulative value of what those projects are worth, and they will obviously be worth a few billion, maybe 10 or 20 or 30 billion, what it is. We will then take those to the market. We'll say, all right, here's government's contribution, and we will work that out with Treasury. And we will then seek to say, what can you now come in and how can you crowd into this? So it is a phased approach, but the 179 is just purely for preparation. It's not for infrastructure funding.
And then just now that when we get to that crowding in point or co-investment, any particular institutions that you'll be approaching, will international institutions be able to participate?
We have a lot of interest from international institutions, especially multilateral banks that are able to offer us concessional finance or discounted finance. And that's the key thing, is that we've got to find finance that is cost to us less or that is below inflation. Because, you know, if you can make sure that those numbers add up, below the growth rate. So we're trying to find sort of funding that's around 2%, 3%. And then if we can kickstart our growth above that, well, then we're making a good return on investment. What we've also said is that, you know, infrastructure spending has got to be the lifeblood of economic growth in this country. So we've got to do all that we can to bring in whether they be international institutions, local institutions, and try and create a pipeline of funding that matches the pipeline of projects. Those two things have got to marry, or else you create sort of a stalemate within the space.
So this was something that was introduced by then infrastructure head Josienzo Ramakgopa, with many of us in the pension fund space, trying to crowd in infrastructure in one way or another. I don't know if any of those projects that had started, and I suppose some of them morphed into Project Vulindlela, will these now fall under the Ministry of Public Works and Infrastructure?
The work that now Minister Ramakgopa had done was part of the strategic infrastructure project that was gazetted. So those are well underway. We have now introduced a new pipeline of projects, what we call the construction book, and we will be looking to revise that next year, and these projects will form part of that.
Got you. Very exciting. I mean, we were sort of sitting at our best times in post-apartheid South Africa around 2007, close to 20% of gross fixed capital formation in the country, particularly ahead of 2010. That kind of fell off a cliff, particularly into COVID, and is now recovering around 15%. If you had to give us a three-year outlook, Minister, as a total and I suppose as a contribution from government, where do you think gross fixed capital formation can go in the medium term, given this initiative that you're undertaking?
Well, we're currently at 14.9%. We're 50% of where we should be. So I think that anything above that, considering the lack of infrastructure investment that we've seen over the last couple of years, you know, I'm reluctant to to put a number to that,
sure.
because, you know, that also requires, you know, public sector spending in infrastructure. And I'm not necessarily at the moment responsible for other line functions and departments, although I'd really like to be. So I can't, give an example on where we should be, but it's got to be a lot closer to the 30% target than it is at the 15% where it is now.
Certainly so. Dean McPherson, Minister of Public Works and Infrastructure, thank you so much for your time and joining us this evening on Kaya Biz.
Thank you so much.
For sure. And I'd be eager to hear your thoughts on that infrastructure intervention. It's as I mentioned in the interview, you know, in my conversation just now, just 179 million. And as he says, only for the preparation to be, I suppose, attractive to investment. It's not for the entire investment, but it's not a lot. And to his point, he is correct. Public works and infrastructure tends to focus primarily on assets owned by the state. But it would be interesting to see and see whether or not that would be something that would whet the appetite of private sector. Staying in the public sector space, my next guest is bringing to us a concern that is not new, but seems to be regressing to some extent. Anele Kroyia is Public Service Commission Commissioner, and we have a concern about the fact that invoices that are submitted to government for payment are only 85% of the time paid within the 30 days allotted. And that applies to the April to June 2024 quarter. This in the past quarter, which was fiscal quarter four 2023, used to be at 87%. And of course, ideally should be at 100%. This is because, of course, when businesses and suppliers do submit their invoices to government, for many, particularly the smaller operators, not paying their invoices on time certainly has a massive impact. And of course, we've seen this not just for small businesses, but Eskom itself raising the fact that they might need another bailout if municipalities don't pay their debts.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.